Good morning, 738, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. It's July 5th, the day after Independence Day. And joining us by phone, we have Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning. Hope you had a good 4th. Thanks for having me.
I had a great 4th. Big success for the city last night, at least in my opinion. What did you think?
Yeah, I thought it was great. The fireworks movement, I'm interested to get in the office today and see how everything went with moving the fireworks on the port. We appreciate Martin Marietta allowing us to do that. And I thought just visually, just getting it closer and it seeming to be even more in the action than when the typical barge, I thought that was a nice touch.
It was
a great port.
It was funny because I have always gotten in the habit of we just go park on 9th and then walk down and at Bayfront, my son and I. And so, you know, the music plays and then we're waiting and then the fireworks start and everybody's like, oh, over there, 45-degree turn.
Right,
it's all good.
Right.
No, but it was really fantastic.
Exactly.
One thing I wanted to ask you about is there's been this local ordinances bill that got passed and signed into law by the governor. In prior years, this was touted as the preemption to end all preemptions. I viewed it as the end or the death of local ordinances, and I know a lot of other people did as well. But, you know, it kind of had some tweaks over time. This year, the way I understand it is it says things like you have to do a business impact for every new regulation. And if a business says that this regulation is unjustified, they can take you to court. And it gets put on hold until the hearing on a rocket docket gets heard. And then even if you do win, it's like 45 days until you can start enforcing it again. If you lose, you have to pay their attorney's fees up to $50,000. I'm very concerned about the chilling effect this will have on local laws, but you tell me, what's your thought about this?
No, look, I agree. If the goal here is to have less government, if that's the argument, is to say, hey, no overreach by government, wouldn't this just create more government? I mean, in other words, what business couldn't take issue with? It could be an environmental ordinance. It could be whatever the topic may be. How are you going to be able to delineate between whether it impacts a business or not? I understand that sometimes decisions made in communities can be frustrating. I was a business that went through COVID. You know, if anybody can relate to how the government was going to tell you how to operate, it's me.
Right.
At the end of the day, at some point, you have to elect people and trust them to be making the best decisions for their city. Whether you agree with them or you don't, you're not always going to agree. But this, I believe this will really hamper our ability to modernize our ordinances, our city, to be able to make changes as time and things evolve. It's going to make it difficult to do. And look, if you're in my seat or in the city council seat with this, what's going to happen? I mean, we're going to be a little trigger shy to do something that we think is good for the community because it might cost us $50,000 of attorney fees at some point. It's easy for me to say I'm in the position to be proposing these things that it would be difficult, but I don't know that this makes us a better city or makes us a better community. That's what I would say to that.
Yeah, and same concerns. And one of the concerns I have is, I've read a lot of the city charter. I think I've read all the city charter under the Charter Review Commission or the stuff that we've gone through with all of that. And I don't see anywhere in our charter where it gives businesses the power to temporarily veto ordinances. Like, they can participate in the process. They can show up and testify. They can public comment. They can lobby their city council members. But this idea that they get to veto ordinances or at least temporarily veto them is weird to me. Also, if this was a great idea, okay, why not apply the same rule to the Florida legislature itself? And of course, it does not apply to the Florida legislature itself. A business cannot object to one of their regulations and put it on hold for enforcement pending the outcome of a judicial review. I'm frustrated with every historical development in this law, and it's less obnoxious than previous versions. But anyway, go ahead, sir. Go ahead.
Well, look, and I want to add too. Show me an ordinance that 100% of a community's ever agreed on.
Right.
I mean, just show me one. Meaning. Even if it's 80-20 or 85-15 most times, all it takes is one business to not like it, or they don't want this next to their office, or they think it's – if they just perceive that it's going to have a negative impact. I mean, that could be very, very damaging to the growth of the community, I believe. So we're in agreement on that. I mean, I have some real concerns. And, I mean, yeah, it's all relative, certainly better than what I read last year, for
right.
sure. And, again, I'm still learning the nuances of what's been proposed this year. But, yeah, definitely concerning.
I'm kind of curious if you have any updates for us on you got a lot of projects that you've put requests in for funding, you know, everything from Hollis T. Williams to the Pensacola Motor Lodge and some other things as well. Do we know anything on where we are with getting these funding requests approved?
We did have an on-site visit from DEO, which is now the Commerce. They changed that name now under Alex Kelly, who runs the Commerce Department, I guess, or is the Commerce Secretary for the state of Florida. But that they had a visit here on, I believe it was June 20th. They went and looked at all five of the six projects we proposed had kind of passed that filtering process, so that was encouraging. And really, we expect to hear something any day now on potential awards. And again, you're talking about a proposed $32 million for Hollis T. Williams, what I believe to be a generational project for our community, for our region. About $10 million proposed for the port, $5 million proposed for the renovation and modernization of Fricker Center. And then we have a couple others. One, you saw the Pensacola Motor Lodge come up. That's actually been part of a $2.8 million grant ask, as well as $5 million for the potential to help with demolition at Baptist Hospital, the old Baptist Hospital. So really all five of these things have some real generational value to us as a city. And we've worked really, really hard. Our entire team, and you think about how many departments that covers when you're trying to file for those grants. It's about almost every department we have has played a role in all of that. So fingers crossed. I mean, I really think this is, again, these are Hurricane Sally dollars, post-Hurricane Sally. And so there's a lot in play here, and we've worked really, really hard as a city to try to get these done. So again, fingers crossed. We'll see. Hopefully we'll hear something this week, if not next week at the latest, I would think. Yeah, no, good question. We actually had a meeting, myself and our interim Parks and Rec director, Tony Bird, and I maintain with our team the same thing me and you have talked about, which is if we had rules posted that were going to be very, very difficult for us to enforce, let's not have that happen again.
Yeah.
So let's make sure that what we do change is going to be things that the day we change it, that we can enforce it and have it run well. After a lot of conversations, I've kind of moved off the operating idea for now, or an operator.
Oh, okay.
To be honest with you, we haven't heard many complaints. Seems to maybe that we're kind of getting in a groove. And one of the cool things about it is the skate park kind of takes care of itself, you know.
Well, that was the goal. That's great.
The blowers in the morning. And so we're letting it evolve. But I would say some of the fundamental things we're going to get. Some more benches out there. We're gonna close it at 10 o'clock, and then we'll also have the lights, you know, cut at that time, and then we'll have someone out there just to kind of manage it those first 60 or 90 days or so, just to make sure that we kind of get into that habit. But for the most part, we've got about 8 or 9 different things that aren't all just rules. Maybe a couple of those are rules: the time and the plastic pegs on bikes and the things like that.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's really just things to help enhance. Like, for example, if someone wants to teach classes there, that's great. We want to encourage that, but we'd love to, you know, have their name and make sure they have insurance and those kinds of things. And now you got another advocate for the park, you know? And so this is a growing process for all of us, but we are in pretty short order. We're going to be putting a couple of these new modifications to rules in place, getting new rules posted, and I would say probably within the next 30 days.
Well, that's great. And sometimes you just let a thing be what it's going to be, and then you find out, you know, as opposed to what you think in advance, what's the real shape of the problem, if there really are problems, right? You know, so that's great, the idea that there's policing mm-hmm. themselves. Obviously, you went through. We've got the sign. The welcome sign has been revealed. The street sweeper naming, that was done. Mm-hmm. The big success. I saw Sweepy McSweep Face last night when I was down at the fireworks. I just have this question. And Graffiti Bridge. I think these are kind of three projects that all kind of hang in the same space of like entertaining, public works, getting people engaged, solving a problem, kind of all of that. My question is, what did you learn about Pensacola? Let's just take one of these examples from the street sweeper naming process. What did you learn about Pensacola in this?
Well, really a couple things, and it's really the same in private business, is that you know, people like to be part of the solution. You know, people want to be included. And back to my 80-20 rule, I mean, 20% of people aren't going to like something or they aren't. But we were pleasantly surprised between the welcome sign and the names of how little kickback or, you know, negative feedback we had gotten.
Yeah.
And that's pretty rare with contests like this. But I don't know, you know, put my old private business hat on, like what does the customer see and how do you want to engage them as an experience? And make no mistake, these things make things harder for us, right, at the city. I mean, there's more complexity. How are we going to do this? And then how do we communicate it? And, you know, that's a lot of time and bandwidth that's being used to do it. But I just always believe it's worth it. You know, in the welcome sign, a perfect example, the street sweepers and, you know, 6,000 names and thousands of submissions and people talking about it. And the funniest part is, we have our awesome crew that drives these street sweepers. And now they're driving by and people are taking photos of, you know, I was like, this is probably going to take a little while to get used to. This has not happened before. They're now becoming celebrity drivers out there on the street. So,
that's great. That's got to be a plus for job satisfaction, kind of position retention. I mean, all of that. That's so cool. I love that.
I did that last week.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
right.
At the end of the day, look, I think, sometimes it's just worth the extra effort, you know, and we won't always get it right. But at the end of the day, if the end product is that the citizen feels more engaged and they feel more of a sense of ownership towards some of these things that we do, whether it's a sign or a street sweeper, or the graffiti bridge, then I just think that's a great thing, and it's worth that time and it's worth that bandwidth.
No, I agree. I think there's your great PR things for the city and just, as you say, producing engagement and a feeling of ownership for it. All right, the lightning round, I try to ask you a few quick, fun questions at the end of every interview. If you're going down the Blackwater River or any other river, are you kayaking, canoeing, tubing, or just swimming?
Tubing.
Yeah, tubing. All right, my man. That's right. Yeah, tell Candy she doesn't know what she's talking about. Do you have a favorite patriotic movie that you would have been watching yesterday or would often watch to like amp up your Go America kind of spirit?
No, I just, you know, I turn on WrestleMania 3. Yeah.
Now you're back in Candy's good graces. That's well done. And last one is people do all kinds of like substitutes for swearing, you know, son of a biscuit, Shazbot, Knights of Columbus, murder. Do you have a go-to fake swear?
I didn't know you were allowed to substitute those things. Now that I know that. No.
Yeah, it's like BK. You can have it your way right away.
I can work on employee engagement in the office. Yeah, a little bit better on that too, I guess.
All right, Mayor D.C. Reeves, the mayor of Pensacola. I look forward to the press conference today and, of course, talking to you again next week, sir. As always, thanks for the time. I appreciate it.
All right, guys. Have a great rest of your week.